Technology to order for February 1st, 2007. Thank you all for being here. I want to go ahead and open a public hearing. Can we combine those two? I think I'm going to go ahead and combine 2164 and 65 and open a public hearing on those two bills.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, House Bill 2164 allows the holder of a winery license to sell malt beverages under a special events winery license. This measure has an emergency clause to take effect upon passage. There is no fiscal or revenue impact associated with House Bill 2164. House Bill 2165 would redefine the statutory definition of cider, hard cider, I believe, or is it cider, for the purposes of the Liquor Control Act in any rate, to include only beverages that contain 7% or less alcohol by volume. Your staff measure summary says the measure may have revenue impact, but we received a statement from legislative revenue office, so it's official. There is no fiscal or revenue impact for that bill.
Thank you, Patrick. Mr. Irwin, so if you would introduce yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tom Irwin. I'm the legislative director for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. And this afternoon, we're going to be speaking to these two bills. The first bill I'll speak to, obviously, is the House Bill 2164. And what this bill does is it extends the privilege of selling malt beverages at temporary special events to wineries. Currently, wineries have the authority to sell malt beverages on their premises under their winery license. And what this would do would extend that when they request a special event winery license to also be able to sell at those events malt beverages. For example, a lot of special events that you may already be familiar with, depending on your districts, but and many people are familiar with them because they've been there, even if it isn't in your district, are things like the Newport and Astoria Wine Festivals. But there are other community events that come up in virtually every community across the state that may apply for those kinds of wineries that would like to sell their wines. And to do so, they must apply for a special event winery license. Those are usually limited in time to 5 days or less. So it is that's why it makes it special. This bill extends the privilege of selling malt beverages for those limited time periods. We have about 1,900 special event winery licenses that occur every year, so it is a huge issue for us. And what we want to try to do with this bill, especially, is to avoid a situation that sometimes occurs where the winery is there. They want to sell malt beverages and then find out they can't, and then they have to scramble and try to find out either someone else to another licensee to be able to do that and apply for a temporary sales license. It just becomes more complicated than it should be. So all this bill does really is add another privilege into this special event for the wineries. They can also, and they already get to do this on their own premises as a winery. So it's fairly simple in scope. It's fairly limited in scope. And I'll leave it at that and ask if you have any questions.
Any questions? I have one question. How do I get notified where these special events are being held?
So, I think a lot of people have websites nowadays that they try to advertise those things on. That's for sure, Chairman.
Okay. If there are no further questions, thank you very much.
Okay.
Do we want to go ahead?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do the next one. But if you would re-identify yourself for this next bill, please.
Thank you very much. For the record, again, my name is Tom Irwin. I'm the legislative director for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, and I'm here to testify on House Bill 2165. House Bill 2165 before you is an attempt by us to conform two statutes that currently are in conflict. In one statute, the definition for cider indicates that the alcoholic beverage will not be more than 10% alcohol by volume, and in another place in the statute, it indicates that it will not be more than 7%. All we're trying to do with this particular bill is to have those two statutes conform to the 7% standard, and the reason that we're trying to limit it to the 7% standard is that that will also allow it to conform with federal standards, which exist for what constitutes cider. The definitions under the Federal Tax and Trade Bureau, which was formerly the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms definition, is 7%. So if any cider maker in Oregon wants to sell their cider out of state, they all already have to conform with that 7% standard. That's all we're trying to do in this particular bill. And again, I'll answer any questions you might have.
Apparently, there are no questions for you. Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
For the people who were here when we started, we're hearing both 2164 and 2165. And is there anyone who would like to give us additional testimony on those bills? Okay. Well, if not, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2164 and 2165.
You might have one other person, Mr. Chair. Mr. Conkling may ask a question.
I will do that. For the people who just came in the room, we have a public hearing open on both House Bill 2164 and 2165. Does anyone in the audience wish to testify? Okay, I'm going to close.
Okay.
Good. You got up in time.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Gary Conkling, and I represent the Oregon Wine Growers Association. While neither of these bills were introduced at our direction, the bill that relates to allowing holders of a temporary sales license for wine to also sell malt beverages is something. It's a practical situation that sometimes when people are at a festival, their preference isn't to drink the wine, which of course breaks the heart of the vintner. But other than that, having at those events the ability to sell other beverages makes sense. So we would certainly support that bill. And thank you very much for hearing it.
Any questions, Mr. Conk? Yes.
Actually, since you're here for the wine growers, the changing from 10 to 7, I understand, is to meet a federal. This is 2165. For the definition of cider, does the local growers have any problem with doing that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Girard, my group, though it does include some hard cider makers, have not talked to me at all about this bill, and I actually would feel uncomfortable trying to offer any information. Again, this bill is not a bill that we were involved in introducing, and I actually just showed up here today to actually hear the discussion of it. So we don't have a position on that, and I'm not sure I'm the right person to express a position.
Unfortunately, you missed the discussion. There wasn't one.
That's what I get for being 5 minutes late, but then again, I guess it didn't matter.
That's right.
Well, I apologize, first off, for being late.
Oh, that's quite right. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
With that, is there anyone else who wishes to testify on House Bill 2164 or 2165? If not, I'm now for the third try. I'm going to close the hearing on House Bill 2164 and 2165. And I'm going to delay a work session on these until later in this session. Because I...
Or do you mean in this meeting?
In this meeting.
Okay.
In this meeting.
I thought they might think legislative.
No. Today. We're going to do it today. I wanted to move on. In the meantime, to bill House Bill 2066 and have a public hearing on House Bill 2066. Would you give us a rundown? Let me open that public hearing And would you give us a rundown on that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2066 would create the Sister State Committee. By doing so, it consolidates the existing Sister State Committees, of which I believe there's one active, the Fujian Sister State Committee, within that Sister State Committee which is created. It deletes the requirement that the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate serve as co-chairs of the committee and directs the committee to establish membership criteria for certain committee members. It also deletes the requirement that the Sister State Committee visit sister states on a biennial basis. This bill has a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Lim, are you here to testify on that? If you'd come up. Thank you very much for taking your valuable time to come to this committee.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
And whenever you're ready, go right ahead.
Okay. Chair Riley and members of the committee, for the record, my name is John Lim, state representative from District 50, which is Gresham area, and I do appreciate the hearing of this House Bill 2066. I have already the administrator explained that this is a simple bill, this is a no-brainer. I have found that when the visitors from the other countries, the dignitaries and the business people or students, whatever, sometimes our treatment to them are not the way they expected. And this is something not best for our state and for the people of Oregonian. And by creating the special committee of sister state, I'm sure this will do good for the state, not only in terms of trade and culture, and plus many other programs. If you have ever visited other countries, you will know what I'm talking about, because the way they receive us, very courteous, the best way they can. As a matter of fact, they treat their customer like a king or a queen. And when they are coming to our country, of course, they are not expecting as they treated us, but at least it should be the way, most courteous way we can get. And with the creation of this, combining all the sister state program together, we might be able to come to that goal, possibly. As you may know, currently we have a four sister state. First, Fujian province, the People's Republic of China, established in 1984, the oldest sister state, and the Taiwan Provincial Government, Republic of China, 1985, Toyama Prefecture, Japan, 1991, and Jeollanam-do Province, Republic of Korea, which I that introduced legislation at the time. And also we have currently sister relationship program with two lawmaking bodies, Honduras and the Parliament of Lower Saxony in Germany. That's a legislative sister relationship we have. Chances are in the future this will continue to grow into the many other countries. And sometimes people ask what the sister state program does. What benefit are we going to get? This is not something you are going to see in the dollar in your hand. This will enhance the trade in many different ways. If I just want to give you a little update, one out of four of all Oregon jobs is linked to export. Oregon's export shipment of merchandise in 2005 totaled $12.4 billion of the total biennial budget of our state. And I personally visited Korea and China and Japan, plus many other countries with Governor Barbara Roberts and Governor Kitzhaber. I don't think I have gone any other country with the current Governor Ted Kulongoski. And so with that remarks, I hope that the you can... Oh, one exception. And can you come on over and testify?
Yes, please. Come forward.
Representative Richardson has been very active as a leader in China, Fujian, and our state. Instead of having all sister that relationship in one body, he expressed that the China and Fujian and Oregon should be separate because it's already existed before this bill. So why don't you testify on that?
Mr. Chair, representatives, I've had the opportunity to be involved in three diplomatic missions to Fujian and other provinces in China. And as Representative Lim has indicated, in 1984, then-Governor of Oregon, Dick Atiyah, traveled to China and was able to assign accords, or it's kind of official, it's an official memorandum of friendship and agreement to work together between our state and one of China's provinces, which is Fujian. And Fujian's a very wealthy province, and it's right across the Taiwan Straits from Taiwan. And I'd like to say that the people in Fujian take these accords very seriously. In the Asian countries, and especially China, which has been, just as we know, in the last couple of decades, entering into the world community of nations, they take relationships very seriously. And when I first arrived there, there had been very little contact from Oregon for many years in Fujian and with their leadership, and they were, after some initial working through some, you know, some things, they became very warm at the idea that we wanted to have a fresh start. And so in the two times that I've been back since then, our relationship with them has developed further. They want to enter into greater connection with Oregon as far as investment, educational exchange, doing business on projects. They've invited us to bid on certain environmental protection projects in their province. The way I first was invited to go was they were negotiating with a group of engineers with a company called World Environmental Systems, which is a corporation that I happen to have created as a young lawyer in the early 80s. And there was going to need to be Americans involved in this, and so they said, well, if America's going to need to be involved, then how about Oregon? We have this relationship. And so they remembered that I was there, and so they ended up getting me over there. Anyway, the point of it is that we have established, as of last year in February, after a lot of time and effort, the Joint Commission on Fujian Sister State. And we notified them. In fact, we had hand-carried over there an embossed copy of the signing of that by the Senate President and the Speaker of the House, and that was delivered to their governor. And they were very impressed, and so they invited the Speaker of the House and the Senate President to come. They would have a special ceremony to kind of renew and solidify this relationship. They were very impressed that we would have a legislative committee that would honor them. And so they were unable to go, but a group of us went over, and it was a very, very nice and a formal affair. A lot of protocol, a lot of diplomacy. It's very interesting to be involved in that. But the point is, if now Fujian was to just become part of this other committee with a number of other inactive sister state relationships, it would be viewed as kind of a slap on the face or a loss of face. It would send a message that we do not want to send to China, because they are becoming, every year we're having a greater amount of our exports going to China, and we buy so much from there. It's really an important time for us to be selling and to having some of our products and our time and our effort and our manufactured goods and so forth going there. And so I mentioned this to Representative Lim. He understood this because he understands the culture better than all of us, and suggested that maybe we could amend the bill so that the Fujian sister state accords would be separated, that it's essentially be grandfathered, and that the legislation that he's proposing would apply to the other and any future sister state accords that might be signed, but that the Fujian committee be allowed to continue as it has in the past.
Mr. Chair, can I continue?
Please.
Okay. In my personal opinion, that all sister states should be under one committee. That's my opinion. And then if we have China, Fujian, Oregon, Korea, Oregon, and Toyama, Oregon, and plus others, then we have so many different committees. But since I understand where the Representative Richardson coming along, I agreed that the China-Fujian committee should be separate for now. But maybe in the future, it might work out under one umbrella. So I think this is an important one step, showing that we are serious about the relationship. So I hoped to get the amendment today, but apparently it didn't get it. So as soon as we have an amendment from the Legislative Council, I will ask that your administrator to reschedule it for a possible work session sometime in the near future.
Thank you very much. Representative Byer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, I did get appointed to this committee in the interim in last session, and so I've been sitting on the Fujian Sister State Committee. I did not get to make the trip with them this time. I guess I know that it has been a relatively active committee, and I'm curious, Representative Lim,
yes.
If your intent is to make any of these more active, or just kind of still just lump them under an umbrella and let what will be what will be?
Okay, we don't have any at this time, no sister state committee at all, other than the Oregon and Fujian. And so with this bill, that the House, Speaker of the House and Senate President, they have to appoint two legislators in the two House in the two Senate. And then also the President and the Speaker has to appoint other total 21 members, and that they are going to be actively involved in the forming sister relationship with other countries. And when the guests are coming over here, not necessarily the governor, not necessarily OECD or International Trade Division, this group will be hosting such an event, welcoming them, or dinners, whatever program they might have, of course involved in the governor's office, and plus several other agencies. So we are putting something on the map as far as the international relations is concerned. I think this is a good thing, something in the future, bringing the bacon to our state through the different method.
Thank you. Just a quick follow-up.
I
tend to agree with Representative Richardson that maybe while we have this active group, we should keep it segregated, you know, as an active group. And then as this other process comes along, maybe there's a way to blend them together at some point. But I think right now it would be best if we kept them.
Representative Edwards?
Well, I concur, and I'm glad to see that you guys are taking the lead on this. I know from personal experience in international trade that Asian countries especially put that premium on the relationship between the business community and government officials, and it is important in promoting economic relationships that we have on our side, because I know they certainly do as a matter of custom in Asian countries, when our business folks go over there, they certainly roll out the red carpet. And I think it's very important that we have the same mechanism here in the state of Oregon to really help foster trade relationships. And because, and I think it's easy for Americans and American business folks to look past the importance of those type of relationship building activities, because we don't tend to have that solid connection between the government and the business community here in this country. So I wholeheartedly support efforts that would strengthen that you guys bring forth today. So thank you.
Representative Gerard.
Oh, this is for Representative Richardson. Why is Fujian more important than a province from Taiwan, Japan, or Korea? Why is that relationship more paramount? I know you've had personal experience there, but these are all Eastern cultures, and so I would think you'd have the same concerns for all.
Mr. Chair, Representative Gerard, we do have concerns for all. The difference is that the Fujian relationship has been nurtured for 5 years now. The others have been dormant. And so to say we're just going to homogenize it will cause us to lose the ground that we've made and the relationships we've developed with Fujian. I really believe that this is a good bill, because presently, when we have a delegation that comes in, last session, two phone calls came to me, and they said, we've got a group of people from Japan that are here, that are coming in today at noon. The speaker's busy. Would you like to meet with them?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, they come all the way here, mm-hmm. and this, I mean, so we have no mechanism presently to show the protocol and the courtesy and so forth. And so we're down, and you know, I'm getting the governor's ceremonial room and having him bring in furniture and lay it out, because there are these protocols. All these things are important, but I don't think that we should harm the relationship that we've developed with Fujian merely because we realize that these others need to be dealt with. In the future, maybe there would need to be a change, but right now it would send a very undesirable message to the Fujian governor and his and their whole trade delegation and their leadership over there, to say that we established this last time and now we're not going to have it anymore.
Any other questions? Representative Richardson, in the future, if this new committee, if we create it, actually is successful in establishing similar relationships as you have with the Fujian group, do you believe that they should be lumped in one committee, or do you think all active groups should be moved out into their own separate committee?
Mr. Chair, I think that this is an opportunity with this bill to set up a process to handle it so that we don't have a lot of duplication of effort. I would see that this committee gets established, and then you'd set up subcommittees for each of the countries, so that those that have interest can work on developing the relationships and doing what needs to be done with that country in mind, between Oregon and that country. The difficulty with these relationships are there are expectations, and we need to be careful that we don't say, well, that sounds like a nice thing. It's like some memorial. We pass a memorial saying, you know, congratulations for doing a good job. On the other side, they expect that we're getting engaged a little bit, and that if we don't make the phone call after the engagement, I mean, it was fun last night, but it may not be a real good idea in the future. And so the relationships are expected that if we're going to do it, that we participate, that we're going to have to commit some funds, that we're going to do follow-up, and that is that's something that needs to be considered. So I think we should magnify the ones that we have, or at least identify, you know, because I don't know how you undo any of these things, but we ought to be cautious in expanding it to other countries until or unless we have a surety that this is what we want to do and it's an ongoing thing and it doesn't just depend on one legislator or a couple that think it's a good idea, because legislators come and go and these relationships are ongoing.
Thank you. You touched on my next question when you said make funds available. These kind of relationships, in my opinion, and I believe probably in both of your opinions, require actual nurturing, that we really should be, when folks come here in these relationships, we should treat them in the custom that they expect to be treated, so that we can foster these trade relationships. And we also should be showing them that we care by going to see them. Is that something that both of you would agree? Could I ask that first?
Okay, Mr. Chair, yes, I think that is to be expected. I do not see a fiscal on this bill because there is no presentation saying that we want to have these trips in the near future. By establishing this committee, what you're doing is getting a group together and a vehicle to identify what the expectations would be, and then I would assume it would be in the next session that they would come in with a recommendation as to whether there should be an actual budget given. Presently, we use the budget of OECD and the Department of Ag, essentially. When people come in, we end up calling them because they're prepared to meet and to facilitate travel and showing, connecting foreign dignitaries with Oregon business people or Oregon farms and produce or grass seed or nurserymen. And so they take the lead as two of the agencies that do that, and they have certain funds in their budget for that. But I don't see this as being a budget item for at the creation of this committee.
Okay. May I add?
Yes, please.
I just wanted that the comment that the representative bias that they're mentioning as a member of this Fujian and Oregon delegation, and then your comments are well taken, and your positions represent Richard's position is the same. Also, I don't disagree with what the representative Richardson trying to do as a grandfather out, since already established, and then China is very strong in economy and possibly is continue to grow, and sometime in the coming decade China could be the number one trading partner in the future. So we need to emphasize that one. Also, Vice Chair Edwards mentioned, well spoken. I think you've spoken of my heart, and I think you understand the culture of Asian country. So that I'm very happy the way you spoke on this matter. A couple of points. Sometime in the future, hopefully we might be able to, if this work well with the agreement, maybe hopefully sometime we might be able to work on the one umbrella. Because Japan, as much as important as China, Korea is the number one trading partner after Canada. So Taiwan is very strong economically, a good trading partner. So this is not any discriminating one country over another, even though we are trading the same way, but sometimes we need to distinguish how it's going to work best for our state and also the country. One point I'd like to mention, in this bill, 2066, there is no tax dollars at all involved, other than four legislators, they are getting per diem. And I think it's a mistaken, it's referred to the Ways and Means. I hope that the chair of this committee talked to the speaker's office, maybe rescind sending to the Ways and Means. There's not a cent involved in it other than the legislators per diem. So with that, I'm going to conclude my testimony if there's any questions.
Representative Gerard.
This is for Representative Richardson. You're far more familiar with the House rules than I am, but are we not forbidden to, we would have to pay, if say that someone was on, a legislator was on the committee, they then would have to pay their own way to China if that were the way I understand the rules.
Well, I want you to know, Mr. Chair and Representative Gerard, I have always paid for my way through campaign funds because I didn't want to go back to my district and say that I spent taxpayer money to take these trips, even though the purpose was trade. In reality, these countries do not necessarily have business before the legislature. And so that's always going to be the fundamental question you ask in any question about the House rules, and that is, does this organization have business before the legislature? And if the answer is no, then it's not an issue as far as the limitations are concerned. So that, but I'm saying that question has to be answered.
Well,
and if the answer is yes, then...
The follow-up would be, obviously, I would think that they would, as a trading, as somebody that would seek to be a trading partner, the exchange of goods, and the whole reason for this is to foster our relationship. So, I don't know. It just seems to me like it would. So, to answer the question, for me, the answer to the question is you got to pay your own way.
Okay, and Mr. Chair, Representative Gerard, the issue, if there's a question, is you submit the question, and then our guidance committee looks it over, and we give you an opinion that you can then rely on, you can bank on. So if there's if it's a question, we can always deal with that.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Blair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to say that while I wasn't able to go on the last trip, while I was trying to figure out if I could, it had never been my intention to have someone else pay my way. I always intended to pay my own way if I went, and that would be the same going into the future.
Thank you very much for your testimonies. I appreciate you being here. I know you have busy schedules, and again, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members.
I would like the OHCDD representative, is Karen in the room, to come forward, please, just for a couple of questions, if you would. If you'd state your name.
For the record, I'm Karen Wild-Godden, the manager of the International Trade Office for OECDD.
And before I ask my questions, is there anyone on the committee who would like to... just maybe a couple of questions. One, first of all, give us your view of this bill, if you would, please.
Okay. My reading of the bill is that this is an attempt to streamline and efforts so that there would be a umbrella group that could would coordinate the various interests, I would say geographical interest. From our perspective, I think it would provide an opportunity for us to have a point of contact. I think one of the difficulties in my own personal experience is that unless you're aware of who has a personal interest on the legislative side, for example, I'm quite well acquainted with the Fujian sister state, but with regard to another committee, it may not be, and that would create some missed opportunity. And I think through this piece of legislation, the consolidation of a group and a point of contact would help facilitate that. So I think that has merits to us. I would say that I found the discussion of the funding issue. Representative Richardson did note that both OECD and the Department of Ag do often serve as the protocol point of call. We do not have an allocated budget. We actually absorb that within our budget. It is not a call-out responsibility of our funding. Our mandate is to work with businesses to export their products. We do see the merits and the value of the relationship and are happy to serve in this capacity, but any potential increase in this area would have a funding impact on us. So I think that is an issue as it goes forward, probably in a separate hearing to be discussed.
You anticipated my next question, but I would like to follow up on that part, if I may. Under this new committee of sister state relationships, if someone, we had a delegation from one of those sister states, I can understand that you would know where to go now as a point of entry into the legislature. But if we have someone from another country with a delegation from outside our sister state relationships, how would that be handled?
Well, I think the benefit of having a sister state committee, and particularly one, would allow you to work with members who probably would be more familiar and would be aware of other legislators' interest and background. So I think from that perspective, whether there was an established agreement or a protocol MOU arrangement, I think it would be the members of the sister state committee would be identified of people of interest on the international trade side, and I think it would be a good reference point and a good group to work with to find out if there are other interests. So it does serve that value whether there's an established one or not.
Okay, my last question, I think, is do you believe that it advances the economic development of the state of Oregon to have these sister state relationships and to foster them and to make the trips and all of these things that go with it?
I would like to say that yes, they do have value. I think that in some cases they do tend to have much more of a cultural dimension than a business economic, at least some that I'm familiar with. But those that have a strong economic tie to them, I think it is critical because our foreign partners want to do business with people that they know, so they have great value. I would just say that it's not a blanket endorsement of all sister city or sister state agreements. I think they have to be evaluated for those business interests.
And that sounds no different than how I feel. I want to do business with my neighbor, someone I've talked with, someone I trust. Any questions? Yes, Representative Rob.
Mr. Chair, I'm kind of looking at this as being an opportunity to be a lot more multicultural than what we are in Oregon. I've traveled a fair amount, and maybe the way that you'd greet someone from Latin America might be different mm-hmm. than the way that we greet someone from the Eastern Hemisphere. Is that kind of what, as to what you're visualizing, as so that we can foster relationships from different areas, not just the ones that are mentioned here, but say that we have a delegation from Brazil that comes up, that this group then would have some cultural diversity to go out and meet them appropriately. Yeah, show them kind of what they're expecting, maybe.
Chair Riley, Vice Chair Gerard, I believe that what you've described actually can be conducted without having a sister city or sister state committee. There are a number of organizations that we work with who provide the who have established relationships and are multicultural in nature and often are and do participate. In the case of Korea, we have the Korean American Society. We have other groups that often are part of the delegation who go out and greet visitors. And, in fact, I have done that recently with a number of representatives, along with Representative Lim. I think the legislative participation that a sister state committee on the legislative side brings is very important, but it's the government relationship that represents, and probably less from necessarily a cultural, multicultural perspective. Hopefully I've answered that, but I think it's really the legislative and government relationships that's also important there.
Thank you very much, Karen. I appreciate your testimony.
Sure. Thank you.
Since it's indicated that there were going to be some amendments, at least one amendment to this, I'm going to close this public hearing on House Bill 2066, and I'm going to move back to our earlier bills, and I want to open a public hearing, a work session on House Bill 2164. And since we held those very early and very quick, I'm going to give an opportunity, if there's anyone who hasn't spoken on that who would like to. And seeing none, we're going to proceed. I would...
You want to go to work session?
I just did.
No.
And I would welcome a motion for this if someone would like to.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2164 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Girard has moved that we move House Bill 2164 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, House Bill 2164 is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Do we want to carry this, or do you want to go to the consent agenda?
Would you like to make that motion?
Mr. Chair, I move that 2164 be placed on the consent agenda.
Representative Gerard has moved that we place House Bill 2164 on the consent agenda. Any discussion? Anyone who would not like that to happen? Then we will place House Bill 2164 on the consent agenda, and I send it to the House with a due pass I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2164, and I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2165.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2165 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
And would you like that to go on the consent?
You want it all in one motion?
Yeah, that would be great.
With a place on the consent agenda?
Representative Girard has moved that we pass House Bill 2165 with a due pass recommendation and place it on the consent agenda. Any discussion? Any objection? House Bill 2165 passes and will be placed on the consent agenda and passed in the form of a due pass recommendation. Is there anyone who has any other business they'd like to talk about in this committee today? Seeing none, I'm going to close this committee for today, and thank you very much for attending.